It seems to me that American cities are in a state of constant decline and rebirth and reinvention and falling apart. And there are a lot of challenges out there, but somehow or another people on the ground are kind of figuring it out.
Al Leston is the host and creator of the public radio program State of the Reunion. And asked him what inspired the show.
I felt for a long time that a lot of what I was seeing in the news media about communities and cities and locations wasn't really reflecting what I was seeing on the ground. I was a flight attendant for about 9 years. But also while I was doing that, I was a performance poet. And so I was performing all over the country. Every place has challenges. And so you hear all of these stories about this bad thing happening or that bad thing happening. And I saw a lot of that, but I also saw, you know, communities coming together.
So you've brought in some clips for us from some of the people you've talked to, interviewed for, on the radio. Let's start with the story you found in Birmingham.
We had some kids coming because band was dropped in their school and they had no place to go and they couldn't afford lessons. And we're getting a lot of kids from the rural suburbs of Birmingham that are the same thing. It isn't offered in their school.
Who's that?
That was Jean Goforth, and she's great. Like, basically what's happening in Birmingham is the same thing that's happening across the country. When we talk about education, the first things that get cut are the music programs and the art programs and so forth and so on. And Jean saw that happening all around her, and she decided she was going to do something to change it. And so she cashed in her entire life savings and started this program called Scrollworks. Kids from all over the Birmingham area can come in and get free music lessons. You walk in there, and it's organized chaos because there are kids everywhere. And in all these little classrooms at this church, you'll find kids learning how to play instruments. And since it's gotten started, you know, it's just been a lot of people volunteering their time, giving her donations. And Jean's also really smart. I mean, she knows how to work the system and get what she needs out of it. That's one thing I generally see across the country is that you have a leader who has a vision, and that person puts a staff around them that are just, you know, really a smart group of individuals to help navigate the waters in order to keep the programs going.
And the other thing about a project like that is that'd be a great project to replicate in dozens of cities around
Yes.
the country, which is, I guess, your point. If we don't know about the stuff that's happening, if we don't hear about a project like Jean's, then another city doesn't have a chance to replicate it.
Exactly.
So the next clip you brought is also about ordinary citizens making changes.
It's the opposite of going out and fighting. There may be fighting, but it's completely different. You're not picking up a gun, you're picking up a broom. You're not driving around in an armored personnel carrier. You're driving around just in your car, moving from block to block to see what needs to be picked up. I mean, it's the same, but different.
Okay, who's that? What's the story?
Yeah, that was Jeremy Johnson. He is a retired Marine. He's in Baltimore, and him and a few of his friends started this organization called the Sixth Branch. And basically, it's the sixth branch of the military. You know, they all serve their time in the other five branches, and when they come back home, reentry can be tough. And so they started finding ways to use the skills that they have learned in the military to help their community. They adopted one neighborhood, the Oliver neighborhood. And in that neighborhood, they are just doing projects there to make the neighborhood safer, to clean it up.
How much change has Sixth Branch made in their community, do you think?
I think the residents of that neighborhood will tell you that it's made change there. I think you may not see like this monumental change, but that's what I see all across the country is that change plays out in different ways. And it's not so much about what the outside eye picks up on, but more what the people who live there pick up on. For me, it wasn't so much about the results as much as it is about the action. In NOLA, Father Bill Terry, he just got tired of all the senseless violence that was happening in New Orleans, and no one really seems to worry about it because it's only happening in the black neighborhoods. And so in order to bring attention to it, several years ago, he started this murder board where he would write down the names, ages, and I believe there's a little bit of information about how they died, but he'd write it down on a big permanent whiteboard in front of his church. Mostly the people that go to his church are white parishioners, but you know, the names that are on this board are of all sorts of people, and he doesn't make judgments. He doesn't say, well, this guy was a gangbanger, this guy was a drug dealer, and so he doesn't go on the board. It's like, no, all these people are human beings, and they have a right to their dignity, regardless of what they did in life.
In the news, night after night, reports of murder here, a murder there. In the past week, we've had 10 murders, to give you an idea. My wife turned to me and said, where was that murder? I said, oh, don't worry. It's on the other side of St. Claude. It's not our neighborhood. Oh, okay. We went back to our business. The very next night at midnight, pop, 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 pop. Right outside the front door, there was a 17-year-old man shot to death with his girlfriend, who was wailing in a voice that sounded like Irish keening. It was an otherworldly wail. The police prevented me from approaching the boy for fear of, quotes, contaminating the scene. I couldn't give the kid last rites. I think that we all have to be responsible for the actions of every citizen in our city. We may not be our brother's keeper, but we certainly hold their lives, or should hold their lives, as sacred.
That's when I was asking him, like, so what has this changed? Like, has this slowed down the violence? Has it done anything? And that's when he told me, you know, it's not so much about looking at the result. It's much more about doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do.
It's a powerful thing. He's bearing witness.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, sometimes individuals' projects wind up getting wings of some kind. They spread beyond their individual city. And that's kind of the story behind Will Allen's Growing Power, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, let's hear a little clip.
For us to be able to do 1 million pounds of compost right here in this neighborhood without pissing off the neighbors, you know, you have to engage the community so they look at what you're doing as an asset.
Will lives just down the turnpike a bit from us here in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. So he's, think of him as a native son. But tell us about Growing Power.
I really wanted to meet Will Allen. And what Growing Power does is basically they are in what you would classify as a food desert in Milwaukee. And he created a farm. And on that farm, in the middle of basically the inner city, he does all these different type of farming methods where they use like every inch of land. Here's a clip from one of the guys that actually works at Growing Power.
We're on about 1.5 acres of growing space. We have 6 greenhouses, another 7 hoop houses, a variety of animals. We've got goats, turkeys, ducks, chicken, fish, and worms. And we're growing a variety of different foods.
And they create jobs in the neighborhood. He told me that he has never had to lay somebody off due to, you know, not having enough money. People are always employed. So it's creating jobs in the neighborhood, but it's also creating, you know, food for the neighborhood that normally wouldn't have access to the type of stuff that we can, most of us can get at a grocery store. In these food deserts, there aren't any grocery stores in the near area. And Will is just a really smart cat. I mean, you sit down and talk to him, and the way he looks at life and the way he looks at how we can make change. And he understands that, you know, it happens on the small scale. So he has a lot of classes where people from all over the world come in to learn how to do what he's doing. And the type of farming he does is called hydroponics, where basically you have 2 layers. The top layer is where you plant your vegetables and so forth. And then the bottom part of it is a trout, basically, that has fish in it as well. And I think at the time, the fish were mostly tilapia. And so basically the nutrients that come from the fish feed the plants, and then the nutrients that come from the plants feed the fish, and so it's a cycle. It's basically replicating what nature does already.
So he's not just feeding the neighborhood and growing food. He's created a model for this very high density fishing farming.
Exactly.
That can go on in the middle of an inner city.
Absolutely.
Al, if you were named sort of overseer of American cities, national policymaker for urban development, what kinds of things would you suggest?
Oh, wow. I don't want that title. I would say that the first thing that I would do is listen. That's what gets lost in our political process. And then the answers are right there in the community. So listen, and then look at the people who are making change in their community, and then create policies, basically, that support those people.
Well, Al, thank you for helping us listen. Thanks for finding all these stories.
Thank you so much.
That's Al Leston from State of the Reunion.